Good morning, everybody. How about we go ahead and read the title of this training all together? Go. Amen. Okay, knowing God. Well, before I start, I would like to see who is with us as far as students. I would like to see if you are either... do we have graduating high schoolers here with us? Yeah, okay. If this is going to be your freshman year, can you stand up? Okay. Wow, so glad. Okay. Thank you. And how about sophomores? Stand up. Okay. We can give them a hand too. Juniors. Okay. And seniors. How many seniors we have? Oh, probably the majority. Okay. Thank you. And we have any graduate students here? Are they also here in the college training? Graduate students. Oh, okay. Very good. Thank you. Well, I was just telling the brothers that I do have a big burden for this line. When the brothers asked me, about sharing in the college training, and I saw the line of fruit bearing right away, my heart jumped because I have a lot of feeling for this matter, and therefore I have a lot of things I would like to share with you. But we will stop by noon so we all can go and have a nice lunch. But I need you to stay with me. I really need you to exercise, okay, so that the Lord can speak to us. So we will do a few things. And that will be, I want us to read that wonderful chapter in the New Testament that touches the matter of fruit bearing, and that is John chapter 15, okay? And then I need to do or lay some groundwork for the rest of the brothers sharing along this line. Okay, mainly two or three big points in this groundwork. And finally, we will touch the outline, which, based upon the previous points that I will share, it should be very easy just to walk through the outline, mostly to read it and make some comments on them. Okay, so let us go ahead, and if you have your New Testament, go to John chapter 15. Actually, it is the part of the scripture reading. Open your book. You find the tab that says fruit bearing. And we are on message one. That is page 31. Okay. So the scripture reading includes John 15. I will add just all the verses from 1 through 17. That's what we're going to read. Okay, and as we read, I will make a few comments, okay? As I mentioned to you, this chapter, the Lord really used to deal or to touch this matter of fruit bearing, or on the negative side, he used that to deal with our problem of barrenness, fruitlessness. Okay? Now, the first concept I would like to deal with in you, my beloved young people, is that when we talk about fruit bearing, we are not forcing you to do something that is not according to your nature. Fruit bearing is your destiny. It's your destiny. Since the time God grafted you into Christ, you became a branch, good for nothing else but to bear fruit. So that's why when you enter into the practice and the experience of bearing fruit, you feel so joyful because you are touching your destiny. Okay? Now, this matter of fruit bearing is amazing. Who knows what are the first words that God spoke to created man? In Genesis 1, what he said? Yes, Genesis 1:28. You need to know that verse. The first words that God spoke to Adam is where, well, the verse says, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. I don't know if you realize that in this one verse, you can see how God is giving man the greatest ability, and that is the ability to pass on life to somebody else, both in the natural realm as well as in the spiritual realm. We are endeavoring to know God. You need to know God in this way. He is a God of purpose, and he has a way to fulfill his purpose. For instance, in Numbers chapter 14 and many other verses in the Bible, it says that God wants to fill the earth with his glory, with his expression. Question is, how does he do it? It is connected with Genesis 1:28 and 1:26. Once God has a creature created in his image and likeness, God wants that one to multiply and to fill the earth. And that is why he gave you the greatest ability. You have that ability. And within you, there is this desire. What I'm trying to say is, we are not here to force you to do something that is not in you already. Don't take the lie of the enemy. Oh, these brothers, they are just pushing me to bear fruit. It's just like this. It's like a bird with a nature that likes to fly, and it has been inside a cage for years. And you are about to open the door of that cage for that bird to... What is that bird going to say to you when you open the cage? Oh, he's just going to want... He wants me... He's forcing me to fly. He's going to jump. He's going to be happy. He's going to stretch his wings and do what is there in his nature. This is fruit bearing. We're not forcing you to do something that is not already within you. It's in your nature. It's inscribed there. There is a longing. Actually, there is an organic demand within you to bear fruit. You know, there is this one verse. The Lord gave it to me this morning. And you need to write the reference. That is Zechariah 6:12. That verse says this. Here is a man whose name is a shoot. S-H-O-O-T. Here is a man whose name is a shoot. And he will shoot forth from his place. And will build the temple of Jehovah. This man, which is Christ, he went through a process to become the life-giving spirit who is now indwelling you. Within you, there is this man whose name is the shoot. He's just waiting for the opportunity to shoot forth, to stretch the wings and fly. Shoot indicates his humanity, and it implies something of life. So within you, there is this man. That's why I told you, it should become normal, organic, this matter of bearing fruit. You have to see this, okay? And that is how God fulfills his purpose of filling the earth with his glory, that is, with his expression. How? Be fruitful and multiply. Genesis chapter 1. Could you believe that? He's right there. Okay. So, let's go through John chapter 15. How about brothers? Read verse 1. Go ahead. Sisters, verse 2.
Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that they may bear more fruit.
Okay, here you have to underline a few things. Underline does not bear fruit. Underline bears fruit. And underline bear more fruit. So in one simple verse, right? We go from no fruit, right, to fruit, and to more fruit. Okay? Notice also that before the Lord defines who is who, later on he's going to tell us, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Before he says that, okay, he touches the matter of fruit bearing. Indicating this is the real burden of the chapter. You have to be impressed with this. Okay? Then, how about brothers? Verse 3, go.
You are already clean because the word which I have spoken to you.
Sisters, verse 4. This is the abiding verse. You have to underline those three times where the verb abide is mentioned. Okay, what does it mean to abide? Well, as I told you, when you were regenerated, God did something marvelous, something beyond comprehension. Okay, and only God could do this, and that is he grafted you and me into Christ. Okay, a quick quiz. Give me one or two verses, and you can check with your neighbor. What verse in the New Testament or verses tell me that I am in Christ and that God did it? Okay, check with your neighbor. 30 seconds. Okay. Ask your neighbor, what verse? What verse? Okay, time's up. Who? A volunteer. I need a volunteer. Who can tell us? Who? Okay, brother, go ahead. Okay, can you stand up and tell, basically, either, if you know it by heart, that's fine. If not, paraphrase it. Go ahead. But of him. You are in Christ Jesus. But of him, who is him? God. You are in Christ Jesus. Now tell that to everybody. Amen. Now let us respond. We are in Christ Jesus. We are in Christ Jesus. Very good. Who has another verse? It's also in Corinthians, but it's 2 Corinthians. I'm giving you a little hint. Okay, who has it? 2 Corinthians what? No? Okay. Nobody? Okay, you go to chapter 1. Who reads 21? Maybe a sister this time. We need a sister. Who? Who has it first? You can stand up and read it. Okay, go ahead. Is God the one? You have been firmly attached with us. It's something corporate. Unto the Messiah, the Anointed One. And who did this? God. So of him we are in Christ, and he firmly attaches us. Okay? So we are in him. Now, we just need to abide. We are already in him. Don't ask God to put you in Christ. He said, have you read your Bible? I already did it. You are in Christ. And I firmly attach you. So, what does it mean to abide? Right? It means that there should not be any separation, any distance between us and Christ. Right? So a lot of things can come here and create that separation. Even a thought, the things that we say, right? Anything. So we have to, like the brothers shared earlier, keep short accounts. Because that becomes a separation. Our sins, our iniquities. We are in Christ, but we may be temporarily separated from Him. So we need to abide in Him. Then what about brothers? Go verse 5. Okay, so here is verse 5 and brings us to now to much fruit, okay? So we go from no fruit, fruit, more fruit, and much fruit, okay? Then sisters, verse 6, go. Brothers, verse 7.
If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you.
Very good. Sisters, verse 8. This is the disciples' verse, okay? When we bear much fruit, he says, you will become. That word implies we are not, or we were not, but we can be. That you may become my disciples. And just a quick review. Some of you have seen this diagram before, but what does it entail to be a disciple? According to the Gospel of John. Okay, we just read one verse. That is, when you bear fruit, you are a disciple, okay? Well, there are mainly three things in the Gospel of John that tell us what does it mean to be a disciple. In chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus is speaking with the Jews that have believed into him, and he said, if you abide in my words, you are truly my disciples, okay? So here is the word. There has to be a proper relationship between us and the Word of God, the living Word of God. Okay? So that's John 8:31, and is a matter of abiding in His Word. And then we have John 13:35, right? He says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So with your companions, right, you must have love. Love. And then, finally, we have chapter 15. That was verse 8, right? Is that right? Yes. And that is to bear. Bear what? Bear fruit. I don't know if this is new or not to you, but that's how John, you know, tells us what is to be a disciple. A disciple abides in the Lord's word. A disciple loves his or her companions. And a disciple bears much fruit. Okay? And we want to advance from just being a Christian or a believer to be a disciple. And that is why you are in college. And these three things have to become your experience while you are in college. Don't wait till you go to the training. That's late. Start now. While you are in college. This is for you. Okay? Then verse 9, brothers, go ahead. As the Father abide in my love. Sisters, verse 10.
If
brothers.
These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full.
Okay, here is the joy verse. Okay, verse 11. And notice how it says that your joy may be made full. This is fullness of joy. And the Lord Jesus is putting this matter of fullness of joy in the context of fruit bearing. Okay? So, you know, for this matter of fruit bearing and for our joy to be made full, we really have to experience this migration. I'm going to draw it for you. Okay? It's a migration from yourself. Right? It is. Where everything is about me. Right? And everything points towards you. So we have to migrate from that, from being just a centripetal person, egocentric person, to somebody that has eyes and considers somebody else. So we go from me to somebody else. Okay, so that's the migration I'm talking about. And Paul experiences. When you take a look on 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm going to write the verses here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8, 11, and I think it's 19 and 20. You know what he says in verse 8? He says, what it says, brother? Can you read the first part? Verse 8.
Yearning in this way over you.
Yeah, right there. Yearning in this way over you. And then verse 11 says,
just as you know how we were to each one of you.
Yeah, right there. Just as you know as we were to each one of you. It's not about me. It's about you. To you, we were a nursing mother, verse 8. To you, we were an exhorting father, verse 11. Then how about read verse 19, brother? Go ahead. Aloud. Yeah, out loud. Can you stand up and read? Yes, go ahead.
For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Are not even you.
Are not even you. And then verse 20.
For you are our glory and joy.
It's all about you. It's just like a mother. Before she was a mother, and probably before she got married, it was all about me. But after she is married, and after she bears a child, it's all about you. So, that migration. Your eyes are set on somebody else. And you know what? That's salvation. That's health to you. When the human being is centripetal, it disintegrates. All kinds of psychological sicknesses come in. Depression. Oh, too much. You know why? Too much center on you. That's why Paul says that the sisters will be saved through childbearing. Because your eyes are off you, the bankrupt self, into somebody else. And then you have fullness of joy. Oh, this is awesome. Right? Awesome. This is wonderful. So, I hope many of you migrate to Germany, but along the way you also need to experience this. This migration from the poor, bankrupt, ugly self to somebody else. Your fruit. Okay? Then verse 12, sisters, go. Brothers, 13.
No
sisters.
You are my friends if you do what I command you.
Brothers. Sisters.
You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I set you that you should go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you.
Oh, wonderful verse. Now here we have another thing in our line of no fruit, fruit, more fruit, much fruit. Now eventually we get to remaining fruit. That's what we want. That's why you are on that campus. That should be the result of our endeavors. Not just contacting, you know, freshmen or any student on the campus, but eventually they will become remaining fruit. Right? So we go from no fruit to remaining fruit. And here we have what we call, maybe all together in verse 17, go.
These things I command you, that you may love one another.
That's right. So if we compare verse 12 with verse 17, love is mentioned in both, and in between is the remaining fruit. We have to eat this fruit sandwich, right? The two slices of bread are the love, and in between is the remaining fruit. And when we have that, both God and us and God, have a wonderful feast. Okay? Well, that is the verses. Now, let me touch another point. Okay? And I'm looking at the watch, so don't worry. And this is the following. As wonderful as fruit bearing is, and because it is really our destiny, okay? And it is God's first words to man, we have to wake up to the realization that God always has an enemy. And so he comes and does something with us, okay? Instead of us becoming fruitful, instead of us touching our destiny, instead of us touching or reaching fullness of joy, the enemy brings in this thing called barrenness. Barrenness. Okay? And that is, it's okay for you to go through college without bearing fruit. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. I'm so happy I saw some who are just about to start their college years here. The ones who are becoming seniors, you still have one more year, okay? So, the enemy has done a big job in making you, some of you, or making men in general, Christians, barren. To the point that it becomes something normal. And this thing called barrenness is one of the big enemies that has become so habitual to us. We are so accustomed to him that we don't realize he is our enemy. Actually, he has become nearly our friend. This enemy, barrenness, is so subtle that he can come with you to the meetings of the church and be sitting next to you while you are shouting hallelujah, and you don't even realize he's right there. He goes with you wherever you go. That's how, you know, subtle this enemy is. So we need to expose him, and we need to hate him. Okay? We need to hate him. This enemy annuls the proper and genuine church life. Without fruit bearing, there is no meaning or much meaning to our church life and Christian life. Without fruit bearing, there is not much fullness of joy. What will happen? Imagine, today is Lord's Day. Next Lord's Day, here in this meeting hall, right, there are 50 or 60 new ones, and they are being baptized. I tell you, all of us will be so happy, so crazy. I see Matt rolling on the floor out of happiness. Because of what? Because of all these ones. Right? So, Christians, people in the world, they find their enjoyment in so many amusements, so many entertainments and pleasures. But our joy is Christ. Right? But we cannot enjoy Christ that well without fruit bearing. Okay? So you have to aspire, you have to tell the Lord, you have to make a deal with Him, you have to have a time with Him these days as we go through this line to have a heart-to-heart talk with the Lord. You have to fellowship, even if you have some companions here, fellowship with them about this problem. It is a problem. Barrenness should not be normal among us. That's a problem, and it is a danger too. So we have to have a conversation with God, face to face, heart to heart, mouth to mouth. Lord, what about this problem of barrenness? I disagree with remaining barren. Lord, you have to give me at least one this coming semester. You have to give me at least one. If you don't give me one of your children as my children, I will not be happy. You have to do that. You have to be desperate. This is one of the main things we need to do to overcome barrenness, and that is we have to become desperate. Not self-content, just to go on year after year in college and not bearing fruit. We have to bear remaining fruit, okay? Of course, brothers and sisters, we do emphasize in the Lord's recovery a lot of this matter of the enjoyment of Christ. This was something new to some of us who did not grow up in the church life. It is something new, the enjoyment of Christ. Or in the words of Luke 15, abiding in Christ. But abiding is not for abiding. Abiding is for something else. Abiding is for fruit bearing. Okay? And actually, fruit bearing is the evidence of life. Fruit bearing is the evidence that you are abiding in the Lord. Brothers and sisters, if year after year, you know, first year, second year, third, fourth year, no fruit, something is wrong with that enjoyment of Christ. The enjoyment of Christ is not that real. Because the evidence of life and the enjoyment of life is fruit. Who knows John 10:10? I know many of us learn and love this verse. John 10:10, what it says? Basically, I have come that what? Life. Did the Lord stop right there? No. What did He say? What does that mean? You may have it, but why did the Lord? He could have said, I have come that they may have life. And we say, praise the Lord, I have life. But then He says, and you may have it abundantly. What is that? What is that for? How does it look like an abundant a person that has abundance of life? What is the phase of that? What is that abundance of life for? For fruit bearing. That you may have life is good for you. That you may have it abundantly is so that you may have fruit. Because as we will see in this message, the proper preaching of the gospel is the imparting of Christ as life into somebody else. But you cannot do it unless you have that. You must have life so that you can share it with somebody else. And that is why in John chapter 10, the Lord is really looking to John chapter 15. When he said, you may have it abundantly, he has in view John chapter 15. You must have life to the point that it overflows into somebody else, and that somebody else becomes fruit and even remaining fruit. Remember that. Oh, you know, always, the evidence of life is fruit. And if there is no fruit, then something must be wrong. Okay? In John chapter 15, the life of a branch is very simple. You are a branch. And your life is quite simple. Your life, number one, in the vine, you abide. You have to take care of your abiding. If you want to bear remaining fruit, you have to take care of that abiding in John 15. Then number two, a branch, right, loves the fellow branches. That's why those verses, 12 and 17. In between those two verses is verse 16, which talks about remaining fruit. You want remaining fruit? Number one, you have to have a proper relationship with the vine. You must abide. He said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Then, number two, with your companions, you must have this matter of loving one another. A branch abides and a branch loves. If that is your condition, if that is where you are, then the natural result is that you bear fruit. And if you are not bearing fruit, something must be wrong. Either here, in your abiding, you have allowed some distance between you and Christ, some separation, okay? Or there is a problem with companions. Or maybe you don't even have companions. But if we take care of the abiding and the loving one another, I guarantee you, fruit will be there. The fruit that remains is borne by not an individual branch, but a group of fellow loving one another branches. Okay? So this simple diagram helps us to understand how we overcome barrenness. As a seeking Christian, you have to deal with this problem, right, on the vertical line, so that you become vital by contacting the Lord daily. And then you must have companions. You know what Brother Lee called this thing, in other words? He called it a vital group. You become living and you become active with your companions. You must be this kind of person while you're on the campus. Living and active. What does it mean? I abide in Christ. I have companions. I fellowship with them. And while we're on the campus, right? We just, you know, we're not there just for my degree, for my knowledge, for my future. We are there, right? As God's ambassadors, as the extension of this wonderful divine organism of the triune God spreading into that campus. Do you realize that? He wants to spread into your campus. He gave you the greatest ability to pass that life into somebody else. And he has given you some to be your companions. If you abide in him, you love them together. You become this living, active entity on that campus to bear fruit. When you graduate from campus, make this your goal. I must leave some offspring, some children behind me. They must be ones who continue my burden on that campus, generation after generation. Okay? So make that your aim, your goal. I'm not leaving this campus fruitless, childless. Lord, give me one this year. The Lord is not asking you for many, just one. In 1 year, one. You know how many freshmen we contacted this summer? We just finished in Austin. Probably easily over 1,200, maybe more than that. Maybe 2,000, I don't know. I mean, names, phone numbers, emails. Lord, give me one. Lord, I hate my barrenness. I love fruit bearing, and I will not be happy if you don't give me at least one. And I'm not going to graduate from this campus unless I have some children. You don't want to force the Lord to extend your years in college, okay? You better have some children. And leave them behind. They will continue the same footsteps as you did. Okay. So, I said we were going to cover the outline, so we better do that. Otherwise, I may be in trouble with the brothers. I have a lot of things to share. But let me just say this one thing. Okay? In the Gospels, you can see two ways of preaching the gospel. Okay, two ways. Let me do it quickly. Two ways. I'm going to call this the fishing way and the mending way. Or the way of life. These three gospels are Matthew, Mark, and Luke. These three Gospels are very similar in the words, the commandment of the Lord. Go, preach, proclaim. Okay? Here, the Lord, you cannot find in John that kind of word. There is no such a word in John. But that doesn't mean there is no preaching of the gospel. It's there, but in a different way. It's in the way of life. Life in three sections. In the vine, there is life. In the branches, there must be life. And life must be also in the fruit. Three sections. It's there. And I tell you, this way of fishing is very similar to the human concept. Go, preach, teach, disciple. We are all always ready to do things for God. But to see this one, you need spiritual insight. You need a heavenly revelation to see the mending way. And that is the way of life. Life must be received by you. Life must grow in you to the point that overflows into somebody else. And that is why we say that fruit is just the overflow of the inner life. To bear fruit, you need to be healthy. You need to be a person of life. You need to allow Christ to grow in you. And I tell you, if our gospel preaching is going to be prevailing and it's going to be effective, we must have both. We do acknowledge the fishing way. I'm not promoting here, don't go, don't preach, don't disciple. No. We go. We preach. Even in the six orientations that we just had. We were roaming that campus, right, Sabrina and Soyoung? Roaming that campus, two by two, contacting all these freshmen. We go. But unless we have the mending way of John, on the one hand, we are reaping with this hand, and on the other, we will be losing. So we must have the mending way of John, the way of life. So this way contains, this way keeps the fruit of our labor through the fishing way. Okay? So we must have both. Now, let us go to the outline quickly. Please go to page 31. Fruit bearing. Let's read the title together. Go.
Fruit bearing, preaching of the gospel on the highest plane.
Okay, let's do it together. Maybe all the Roman numerals all together, and then we alternate, brothers and sisters. Go, Roman number one. Okay, brothers, hey. Oh, just quickly, service. Service, the service that we're talking about involves people. We appreciate all the things, practical service, arranging the chairs, the food preparation, everything. But the service here in John, it involves, is you being involved with people. And you ministering life to that people. Okay, sisters B. Imparting life. Brothers, all together. Let's see.
The branches abide in the vine, and as they abide, they bear fruit. This fruit comes from the overflow of the inner life.
Sisters, one. Brothers. Very good. All together on Roman numeral 2. Go. According to John 15, what are you? It got kind of weak. What are you? What are you supposed to do as a branch?
Bear fruit.
Okay. You can say also, remember the diagram? As a branch, I must abide. As a branch, I must love my companions. And as a branch, I must bear remaining fruit. That's my life. That's it. And you will do, and we need to be doing this until we meet the Lord, the vine, the true vine, face to face. It's not for college age only. It's any age. You do those three things. All, from now until you meet the Lord. You abide, you love, and you bear. Okay. Where are we? Hey, go ahead. Brothers? Yes, amen. Who is saved? Raise your hand if you are saved. Okay, so you are a branch in the vine. Okay, sisters, B.
You must realize that every branch in the vine must abide in the Lord to bear fruit.
Brothers. Seriously wrong. Seriously wrong. Okay, number two, sisters.
Do not bear fruit will cause us to be cut off from the enjoyment of the life of the vine. Many brothers and sisters do not have much enjoyment of the riches of Christ's life simply because they do not bear fruit.
That's right. In verse 2, the reference there, the Father will, it doesn't say, verse 2 doesn't say that you will be cut off if you don't abide in Him. Verse 2 says, if you do not bear fruit, you are cut, which doesn't mean that you perish or you lose your salvation. It means that you lose the enjoyment of Christ as your portion. Okay, and our experience testifies about this. Okay, see, brothers. Yes, yes, amen. Do it these days, okay? Don't let it go. Don't let that go. Don't start the fourth semester in the same way. You know, it's another semester. No, no, no. You have to deal with the Lord. Okay? Rebel against your barrenness. That's a good rebellion. Rebel against your barrenness. Okay, number one, sisters. Brothers.
Desperate.
Why?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Oh, underline desperate. Oh, the worst thing you can do these days is be indifferent. Somebody asked, a very famous person, a Nobel Prize, what is the greatest challenge that humanity faces today? You know, his answer was very simple. He says, indifference. Just to be indifferent. So don't be indifferent, okay? Number three, go. Sisters. One fruit. Oh, I want you to have this breakthrough. Amen. Maybe you haven't bear one fruit in your years in college. How about a breakthrough? Amen. This fall semester, we have a breakthrough.
Amen.
Right? Okay, so by the Lord's mercy, I'm going to do it right on time. So all together, stand up and read three. Okay. Be normal. Amen. Praise the Lord. How about you pray with your neighbor based upon that Roman numeral? Just go.